Hi, this is Chris, and welcome to this special collection of Adventures in Odyssey, The Truth Chronicles.
Once upon a time, in a village far, far away, there lived a boy named Will. All in all, Will was a fairly typical boy who loved playing games, competing in sports, fishing in the nearby creek, and reading the occasional story, as long as it had interesting characters and exciting adventures. Will's family was like most of the families in the village, good Christians who tried to live their lives in a way that would please God. But Will had a problem. He didn't like being told what to do. He began to feel that everyone was bossing him around, his parents at home, his teachers at school. And one Sunday, while he was at church, he realized just who was behind it all. God. His parents and teachers told him what to do because God was telling them what to do. So the next week, while he was being forced to practice his piano...
That's it! I'm tired of practicing piano and doing my schoolwork and cleaning my room instead of doing the things I want to do. Why does God make me do all these things I don't like, or keep me from doing the things I do like? Who is this God anyway? I'm finished with him.
So Will sneaked out, hoping to go fishing with his best friend, Grimsby. He explained how he felt as they walked along the road leading out of their village.
You're joking.
Nope, I'm really fed up.
Are you telling me you don't believe in God anymore?
No, I believe in God. But I'm tired of him telling my parents to boss me around.
But even if you are tired of all those things, what can you do about it?
I don't know. I wish I could change him for another god.
Is that so, my boy? What? Is that what you wish?
The two boys were so engaged in their conversation that they didn't notice a stranger a few yards away on the edge of the woods. The man was collecting sticks of wood for a fire, and he'd overheard everything Will had said.
Yeah, that's what I wish.
If wishes were gold, we would all be very wealthy indeed.
Who are you? I've never seen you around the village before.
Oh, it's been many a year since I've visited your quaint village. I am Randolph Fox, a traveling craftsman, proprietor of entertainments, diversions, stories, and wondrous delights.
Let's go, Will. Oh, wait a minute. Well, you look like a man gathering wood to me.
Ah, but if you would peer through the trees to that clearing behind me, you will see my horse and wagon. And if you can read, I assume you can read.
Yes.
You will see my name and trade elaborately printed in rather fetching colors on the side of said same wagon. Come closer. Look.
Wow. Let's go, Grimsby.
No, I don't like it.
Why? What's the harm?
I've heard about these travelers. They're trouble.
How can someone who makes entertainments and diversions be trouble? He probably does puppet shows.
I'm going home.
Fine, then go. I'll tell you about all the fun I had later.
So Grimsby went home while Will ventured into the clearing where the man was now stacking the wood for a fire. Everything was as the man had said. His horse was there, a beautiful if undernourished beast, and his wagon, with an elaborately painted display on the side, proclaiming in colorful letters, Randolph Fox's Traveling Show, featuring crafts, trinkets, entertainments and diversions of a wondrous nature. Randolph Fox, Esquire, Proprietor.
Where is your friend?
Oh, he had to go home.
I see. Only those with true courage dare to embark on the path you are taking and the lessons it will provide. His loss, I suppose.
Will noticed that Randolph Fox had sharp eyes and a red, bushy mustache under a pointed nose. He was dressed in a rather worn suit, a coat with tails, a red vest and white shirt, and breeches with gold buttons at the knees. His brown leather boots were caked with mud, and he wore a top hat that seemed to tilt a little too much to the left, as if it had been sat upon a few too many times.
Can you really do diversions of a wondrous nature?
The sign says so, doesn't it? I couldn't put it on the sign if it wasn't true.
What kind? Coin tricks? Cards? Hey, can you pull a rabbit out of a hat?
Tricks for children? Is that what you're interested in? I thought you were looking for something grander.
What do you mean?
Were you not just saying that you would like to replace your god? You wished it, in fact.
Well...
I happen to be a provider of such services. Oh, the stories I can tell of wishes made and wishes fulfilled. Is that what you want?
A story?
Tell me, what kind of god are you interested in? Traditional or something more urban and contemporary? Perhaps you'd like one that is naturalistic or animalistic, polytheistic, anthropomorphic, something Greek or Roman?
I'm not sure.
Are you looking for omnipotence, omnipresence, omniscience? Or perhaps one that'll give you direction, keep you in line, astound you with great miracles? Is this a permanent replacement, or would you rather have a temporary god? You know, something to help you with that important exam at school tomorrow. Your indecision tells me you need one to help you decide. Look at this.
Randolph Fox took off his top hat, reached into it, and pulled out what looked like a wooden doll.
This little deity is called Alexander the Answer God. Very popular among our nation's leaders. You ask it a question, turn it upside down, then right side up, and read the answer on that spindle in its stomach.
I can ask it anything?
Of course, free of charge.
Am I ever going to be rich? Doubtful.
I suppose wealth is not part of your fate.
That's no good. Let me try again. Can I stop doing schoolwork and still get good grades in school? No chance? Well, I don't like this one very much.
Oh, you didn't say you wanted a god that would tell you what you want to hear.
Well, yeah, who doesn't?
There, you see? You're clarifying your desire, which is an important step towards finding true happiness in life. Here.
Randolph Fox reached into his top hat and retrieved another doll. This one was intricately carved and looked like a young boy with bright eyes and a broad smile.
This is a Affirmus.
Does it do anything special?
He's very encouraging. He loves everything about you, demands nothing from you.
That's the one I want. Hello, Affirmus.
Hello, thank you for choosing me to help you today.
You're welcome. I'm Will.
Hi, Will. I like you. You're very nice and very smart.
Thanks. I'll take it.
Take it? No, dear boy. You may purchase it if you like.
Oh, but I don't have any money.
Why am I not surprised? Is there some service you can provide?
I can work.
What kind of work?
I could polish your boots, things like that.
All right. You may take a thermos if you polish my boots and wash my horse.
It's a deal.
And so, Will polished Randolph Fox's boots and washed his horse and took a thermos away with him. On his way home, he bumped into his friend Grimsby. Will told him all about his new purchase.
You bought a god? Let me see.
Here.
He's not very well made. My father can carve better than this. What does it do?
Well, I'll show you. Affirmus?
Hello, Will. How may I encourage you?
I was thinking about going fishing today. What do you think?
What does your heart tell you?
To go fishing.
You're talking to the doll?
Yes.
And it's answering?
Can't you hear?
I can hear you. Are you saying that you can hear the doll?
Yes, but you can't? How odd. Affirmus?
I am a personal deity, Will. What I have to say, I can only say to you.
Oh. He said he's my own personal god, and that's why you can't hear him.
Sure. Well, I hope you have fun with your doll.
Where are you going?
Home. I have to study for our history exam tomorrow.
Well, I hope you enjoy yourself. I'm going fishing.
You're not going to study?
Why should I if I don't want to?
What?
Hey, Affirmus. Do I have to study for my history exam tomorrow?
Do you feel in your heart that you should?
No. History's annoying. All those names and dates and places I've never heard of. I'd rather go fishing.
Then follow your heart.
See you later, Grimsby.
But what about your exam?
That evening and into the next day, Affirmus encouraged Will in everything his heart desired. When his parents sent him to his room to study, he went to his room, but didn't study. He played with his toy soldiers instead. The next morning he went to school, but told himself it was only to see his friends. When the teacher asked him questions in class, sometimes he answered and sometimes he didn't, depending on how he felt. After a while, his teacher sent him to the headmaster of the school.
What has possessed you, boy? I won't tolerate this sort of behavior. Straighten up or suffer the consequences. Now, go out for recess and behave well this afternoon.
During recess, he made another decision.
Hey, Grimsby, I'm in the mood for a bag of chocolates.
So?
Let's go to Miss Helga's candy shop in the village.
You know we can't leave the school grounds until the end of the day.
I'm going anyway. Affirmus, shall I leave school for some candy?
What does your heart tell you?
It tells me I want a bag of chocolates from Miss Helga's candy shop. Well, Grimsby, are you coming?
No! Didn't you just get in trouble with the headmaster?
That's right, and I didn't like it at all. Did I, Affirmus?
Oh, it was not your heart's desire to be scolded.
Correct.
But you can't go. We have our history exam right after recess.
Yeah, I'll be back in time for that.
So Will put Affirmus in his knapsack, slipped through the fence behind the school, and went to Miss Helga's candy shop in the village. But when he got there, Miss Helga had put a sign in the window saying that the shop was closed for an hour. Will had a new dilemma.
What am I going to do? I don't want to wait for an hour. Oh, I can see the chocolates from here.
Then he noticed that Miss Helga had left the front door of the shop open just a crack.
Miss Helga wouldn't mind if I went in. All I want is a bag of chocolates. Oh, she made peanut butter cookies. Oh, which do I want?
Decide from your heart, Will.
The peanut butter cookies. Two will do. Uh-oh. Forgot to bring any money. Oh, and I came all this way, too.
I can sense that you're not following your heart, Will.
What? Follow it how?
What would make you happy?
To eat the peanut butter cookies.
Then you should. You mustn't let anything get in the way of your heart's desire.
But that means I'd have to take it without paying for it. Isn't that wrong?
The only thing that's wrong is when you deny yourself happiness.
True. I can always come back to pay her later anyway.
If you wish.
Well, why not? Oh, one, two...
Hello?
What?
Is that you, William?
Miss Helga, I didn't take anything.
Did I say so? What are you doing here?
I wanted some chocolate.
Shouldn't you be in school?
Yes, ma'am. Well, that is, I was. But I really wanted some chocolate.
Well, I see you helped yourself to some cookies.
I was going to bring you the money later.
To take without paying now, isn't that stealing? Just as coming into my shop when it is closed.
The door was open. A little.
Come with me, please.
To where?
To the school. I'm sure the headmaster will want to know that he's missing one of his students.
Oh, but my heart doesn't really want to do that.
This is very unlike you, William. Leaving school in the middle of the day, entering my shop, taking two cookies without paying. What would your parents say?
I don't want you to tell them, and I don't want to go back to school.
Why should I care what you want?
Because what I want is important. Right, Affirmus?
That's correct, Will.
Who are you talking to?
Affirmus, I want to leave now.
What does your heart tell you?
To run.
Run?
Run!
And so Will ran out of the shop, out of the village, and down the road to where he'd met Randolph Fox the day before. But Mr. Fox, his horse, and his wagon weren't to be found. Will sat down by the side of the road to consider his circumstances.
What happened back there, Affirmus? All you did was affirm me, and it got me into trouble.
I affirmed your heart, Will. Where it leads is not my doing, nor are the consequences.
Then what am I to do? I'm in trouble at school, in trouble at home, and in trouble at the village.
What does your heart suggest?
I'll have to run away.
Follow your heart, Will.
So Will sneaked around the village to his house, crept into the back door to his room, gathered a few of his things, along with what little money he had, and ran away. Will walked along the main road for what seemed like miles and miles. As his feet began to ache and the hot afternoon sun burnt on his brow, he spied something ahead in the distance. It was the back of a large horse-drawn wagon moving at a leisurely speed. Will quickened his pace, and in time, saw the ornate and colorful writing on the back of it. Randolph Fox's Traveling Show. Randolph Fox, Esquire, Proprietor.
Hey, Mr. Fox! Wait up! Whoa. Mr. Fox!
Oh, boy!
Thank you for stopping.
I'll admit that I'm not surprised to see you, boy.
Why not?
I suspected after our transaction that a firmus wouldn't be enough for you.
All he did was affirm me. Now I have to run away from home. Isn't there a god who can affirm me and keep me out of trouble?
Within limits.
What kind of limits?
That depends upon what expectations you have of your god.
I'm ready to try anything.
Very well. But the cost for this god is much greater.
I can work for it. Now that I have to run away from home, I've plenty of time on my hands.
Fortunately for you, that may suit my purposes. What other skills do you have, besides polishing boots and bathing horses? Are you musically inclined? Can you sing, dance?
I play the piano.
The piano? Yes, that may work out perfectly in the next town. Do you play well?
My parents say I'm gifted.
Gifted, eh? Oh, show me.
How?
I have a small piano in the wagon. Come. Let me hear you.
Here goes. I'm sorry. I've only ever played at home.
Then close your eyes. Imagine you are at home.
Okay.
Yes. Excellent. Well, this may be promising, my boy. Promising indeed. But the song is too sad.
That's because I'm thinking of home. And my parents. Oh, they must be worried about me.
Ah, that is a problem. Well, think of something else, then. Ah, think of their happiness when I send them a note telling them that you are safe and sound.
Will you?
At the very next town. Now be happy. And play happy.
I'll try.
Excellent. Excellent!
That evening, when they came to a stop along the side of the road, and they had made a fire for a meager cup of soup, Randolph Fox brought out a small doll, carved with a pleasant face, a wry smile, and passionate eyes.
His name is Otto.
Otto? That's a strange name for a god, isn't it?
Yeah, so you're an expert on gods now? Otto means fuel, more or less. In a sense, he will fire you up, push you towards the things you want. Isn't that the kind of god you need?
I think so. Are you going to help me, Otto?
Oh, yes. I'll help you. Together, we're going to do amazing things.
Will and Mr. Fox reached the next town, where Mr. Fox set up his wagon in front of the local theater house. He began to sell his wares and promote the big show he would do at the theater that evening, which would include delights and wonders and...
The great prodigy, who will dazzle you with his remarkable prowess on the piano. True, you've not heard of him, because he has been hidden away in the hills of our countryside. Only by a twist of fate did he come to my attention. And now, I'm prepared to show him to the world!
Later, Will asked Mr. Fox.
This is so exciting! I can't wait to hear the great prodigy! Who is he?
Are you daft? He's you!
Me?
Will was alarmed. How could he possibly do on stage all that Mr. Fox had promised to the crowd? Then he remembered Otto.
Oh, Otto, I'm scared. What am I going to do?
You're a very talented young man. Few have your gifts, and that makes you special.
But I've never played for a crowd of people before.
Not to worry. Close your eyes. Think of home.
I can't. Thinking about my parents makes me feel a little sad. Mr. Fox doesn't want my music to be sad.
Then we must put your parents and all sadness out of your mind. I know. Place me on the side of the piano while you play. Look only at me, and I'll help you forget about being nervous in front of all those people.
Do you think that'll work?
Trust me.
That evening, Mr. Fox introduced Will to a large audience in the theater. Will walked to the piano, placed Otto on the side, and sat down. His mouth was dry. His hands shook. He began to play, and fumbled at first.
I can't do it, Otto.
Of course you can. Look at me. Look only at me. Play for me, Will.
And so Will did. He kept his eyes on Otto, and it seemed as if his confidence grew. Soon, he was playing to the best of his ability.
We did it, Otto! We did it!
Didn't I say so? Keep your eyes on me, child, and we'll unleash everything within you.
Will and Otto traveled with Mr. Fox from town to town. Will's playing was a huge success. Everyone clamored to see him, to meet him, and Will became more and more confident.
This is better than I ever imagined. We're bringing in money hand over fist. You're a star, my boy, a star. Soon they won't want to see me at all. The show will be yours.
Really? Do you mind? It's your show, after all.
I don't care who's on stage as long as the money comes in. And I'm proud to be able to tell people that I discovered the great prodigy.
Oh, I can't wait to hear what my parents will say when they see me.
Oh, yes. Neither can I.
You did write to them, didn't you?
Of course I did. But you know how unreliable our postal system is. Letters can take days, weeks.
Maybe I'll write to them myself.
Yes, you do that. I'll see that it's dispatched immediately.
Later that night, Will spoke privately to Otto.
Otto, I don't think Mr. Fox sent a note to my parents.
Does it matter?
Yes. I miss my parents, and I want them to see how well I'm doing. They've probably heard about the great prodigy and don't even know it's me.
Then write them a note. Though you can see how you've outgrown them.
What do you mean?
Here you are, traveling to towns they've never seen, becoming more than they'd ever hoped. Do you think they'll be happy for you? Or jealous?
They'll be happy, I think.
Are you sure? Are you sure they won't resent your success and try to take you back to the village? Just think, giving up on all this fame and returning to schoolwork and household chores. Are you prepared to do that?
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
Which is why I did. I'm here to look out for you, Will. Always remember that.
But I would like to see my parents.
And you will, at the right time. Meanwhile, keep an eye on Mr. Fox.
Why?
Because you're making him a lot of money. Money twists people's thinking. He won't be looking out for your best interests, but his own. You watch.
I'm glad you're with me, Otto. What would I do without you?
Nothing, Will. You can do nothing without me. That's why you need me.
In time, Will's reputation was known throughout the country. The crowds clamored to see him. Mr. Fox no longer performed his part of the show, allowing the great prodigy more time. Will drew the attention not only of the general public, but of influential men and women.
Well done, Will. I thought you were exceptionally good tonight.
Thank you.
Now, who could that be at this hour? More of our fans, no doubt. Yes?
Mr. Fox?
Yes?
I am Arthur Fieldstone. May I come in?
Arthur Fieldstone? Yes. Yes, do come in.
Oh, what a quaintly provincial place to live.
Thank you.
I have come to meet that marvelous boy I watched on stage this evening.
And so you shall. Will, this is Arthur Fieldstone, the great financier of the international stage.
Oh, hello.
Hello. You were masterful, dear boy. I dare say the world has not seen such a prodigy since Mozart himself.
Thank you.
Mr. Fox, I have heard about this young man for weeks on end. Now I know what I heard is true. You simply must stop carting him around to these little towns to perform. Bring him to the capital, and I will set him up at the King's Hall.
The King's Hall?
Well, that's a very intriguing proposition, Mr. Fieldstone.
Intriguing? Is that your word for it? I would have thought a resounding yes would be your word.
I'm sure yes will come once we have negotiated the business arrangements.
I see. I am staying at the Monarch Hotel. Come see me tomorrow, and we will discuss it further.
I shall, Mr. Fieldstone. I shall.
After Mr. Fieldstone left the wagon, Will asked Mr. Fox a question.
I don't understand. Wouldn't it be good if I played the King's Hall in the Capitol?
To be sure. But one mustn't seem too eager about these things. Mr. Fieldstone will take advantage of us if we don't play, shall we say, hard to get.
Oh.
He's lying to you, Will. He's afraid of Mr. Fieldstone. He thinks Mr. Fieldstone will take better care of you than he does. It's time to take your destiny into your own hands.
Oh, well, think no more about it, Will. Sleep now. You have two performances tomorrow.
Tell him that the piano was out of tune. You can't play on out-of-tune pianos.
Mr. Fox, the piano was out of tune.
Was it?
That's right. I can't play on out-of-tune pianos.
He better not let it happen again, or you won't play.
Don't let it happen again, or I won't play at all.
Listen to you. Telling me what to do. Are you the boss now?
Yes, in fact you are.
I think I should be.
What?
You're the one they come to see. You're the one bringing in the money.
They're coming to see me, aren't they? I'm the one making the money.
I see. Not 5 minutes after Mr. Fieldstone's visit, and your head is already swollen?
It's not about Mr. Fieldstone.
It's Otto, isn't it? He's putting these ideas into your head. Let me look at him.
Watch him, Will.
You may look at him, but don't touch him.
Far be it from me to do such a thing. It's remarkable, isn't it?
What?
How much he looks like you.
Does he?
Why didn't I notice it before? He looks more and more like you all the time. You want to be careful, Will. Some of these little gods will try to take over your life.
He's lying. He wants to pit us against one another so he can do what he wants with you.
So, is there anything else you would like? Clearly, I am here to serve you.
You want a hotel room of your own. You don't want to sleep in the wagon anymore.
A room of my own. I don't want to sleep in the wagon anymore.
What? No. No, of course. It's unreasonable for you to share the wagon with me now that you're a star. I'll see to it first thing tomorrow.
Good.
Good.
Late that night, in the darkness of the wagon, Will was awakened by a sound.
Where are you, you little...
Will! Will! Stop him! He wants to take me away.
What's wrong? What's going on here? Mr. Fox? What are you doing?
Oh, I'm sorry to disturb you. I stumbled in the dark and fell onto Otto.
He's lying again. He attacked me. He wanted to steal me while you slept and get rid of me.
Is that true, Mr. Fox?
Is what true?
You want to get rid of Otto.
Oh, how can you believe such a thing? I have great affection for Otto. He belonged to me before he was ever yours.
He had me stuffed in a trunk. I was never his. And if you let him touch me again, I will never speak to either of you. I'll be no better than a toy store doll.
Oh, no, Otto, don't say that. You've upset him, Mr. Fox. Please apologize.
What? Never.
He better.
You must.
I won't.
Then I won't play the piano again.
I've had just about enough of you and that doll.
And what will he do about it? Go back to his little carnival tricks?
I suppose we could leave you and you can go back to your little tricks.
Oh, go to sleep.
Don't trust him.
You have to leave first.
Leave? My own wagon?
Yes. I won't sleep if I know you're here. You might attack Otto again. Or me.
if that's what you want.
It is.
Then, good night.
You see?
Yes.
We have to escape.
Escape?
To the Monarch Hotel, to see Mr. Fieldstone. Tonight, before Mr. Fox comes back.
You want me to run away?
It's not what I want. It's what you want. In your heart, you know it's the right thing to do.
Yes, it is.
Will packed what few things he owned, and he and Otto sneaked off to the Monarch Hotel. When Randolph Fox returned to find Will gone, he guessed instantly what had happened, and he knew two things for certain. First, that he would never persuade Will to return to him. And second, that if he couldn't have Will, then nobody could. It was then that he did what he had not done before. He wrote a letter to Will's parents. Mr. Fieldstone was pleased to take Will under his wing. As promised, they traveled together to the capital, where he arranged for Will to play at the famous King's Hall. But Mr. Fieldstone was more demanding than Mr. Fox. He didn't require Will to play one or two performances, but booked him to play three, sometimes four performances a day.
Exposure, Will. The more you play, the more people will see you, and the more famous you'll be.
So, after the performances, Mr. Fieldstone took Will to all of the high society parties.
You must be seen in the right circles, Will. Charm them, delight them.
Will enjoyed the fame and attention, but he soon found himself exhausted from all the performing and socializing.
I'm so tired, Otto. I want to go to sleep and not awaken for days and days.
You have three performances tomorrow.
I don't want to think about it. Wish I could stop for a while.
Stop? You can't stop now. Look around you, Will. Do you want to stop living like this? Do you know how many people would give up all they have for what you now take for granted? Look at the bed you're lying on, the beauty of this room, the wealth of your life, the influential people you get to meet.
I know, but they're not my friends. Even Mr. Fieldstone isn't my friend. I'm no better than a performing puppet. I don't have any friends.
And what am I?
You know what I mean.
Do I?
I'm saying only that I have all these things, but I don't think I'm enjoying any of it.
You sound ungrateful.
No, I don't mean to. I've been thinking, remembering, you know, some of the things my parents taught me. One thing they said is that things like money and fame don't last.
Nothing lasts, Will. That's why you have to enjoy what you can while you can.
There are things that last. Well, the Bible says... I don't remember what the Bible says.
The Bible? The book of rules from that God you gave up? Or have you also forgotten what led you to me?
No.
I don't think I want to talk to you anymore. Not while you're in this cruel, ungrateful mood.
No, Otto, I didn't mean it. Don't be angry with me. I'm sorry. Look, let's talk about something else. Let's talk about what pieces I'm going to play tomorrow.
All right. That's better.
There's one I haven't played in a long time.
The next day, Will played as well as he always did. The crowd gave him standing ovations, as they always did. After his performances, he was in his dressing room when there was a knock at the door.
Tell whoever it is to go away.
Yes? Who is it?
Hello, young William.
Mr. Fox! What are you doing here?
Call the guards. Call the militia.
I have come to see my old protege. You were in fine form, William. I'm glad you're doing so well.
I don't believe him.
Thank you.
Though it was very naughty of you to sneak away from me the way you did, without even a note or a goodbye, I'm sure it was Otto's idea.
What does he want?
What do you want?
Me? Oh, not a thing. I have something for you. A surprise.
What kind of surprise?
Wait a moment. Come in. Come in.
Watch out, Will. He's up to something.
Will stood up, unsure of what trick Mr. Fox might pull on him. And then his parents walked into the room.
Mom! Dad!
dad!
Oh, Will!
My son!
Imagine our surprise to learn that you, our long-lost son, is the great prodigy that everyone has been talking about.
We were so worried about you. Why didn't you tell us where you were? Why did we have to hear from a stranger?
Stranger?
Mr. Fox came all the way to our village with the news.
Oh, he did he?
Oh, how kind of him. I wrote to you many times, but...
The Postal Service is so unreliable.
But here you are, performing at the King's Hall itself.
Amazing, isn't it?
Have you played in the cathedral?
No.
No? But surely you've been there?
No, I haven't. Well, there's no time.
No time for church? I don't understand. God has given you this great gift, this talent, and you can't find the time to play for him?
This is my fault, I'm afraid.
What is, Mr. Fox?
You see, Will gave up on your God, and now has another. He's here, in fact. Meet Otto.
Oh.
You see how much he looks like William now? One can hardly tell them apart.
A new God? I don't understand.
What is he talking about, Will?
It's hard to explain.
Try.
William! You'll never guess what! Mr. Fox, what are you doing here? And who are these peasants?
These peasants are my family, Mr. Fieldstone.
How remarkable. An honor to meet you. But there's no time for reunions now. The king himself has asked to meet you, William. We must go.
The king?
King, can you...
Mom, Dad, we're going to meet the king.
No, Will. You will meet the king. No one else has been invited, save for me.
But I have to bring my parents.
The king invited you, not your parents. A royal invitation is very specific. I'm sure they understand.
Oh, of course we
do.
Yes,
of course.
I'm sorry. But I'll come back as soon as I can. Wait for me at my hotel.
We will, son.
And what about me?
Oh, Otto. I have to bring Otto.
Your doll? Oh, why not? It adds to your boyish charm.
I think you should leave the doll behind.
Mind your own business.
Then come along quickly. We mustn't keep the king waiting.
And so, Will, a peasant boy from a small village, went to meet the king of their country. He was thrilled and even played a song for the royal family. Afterwards, the king explained why he wanted to meet Will.
Well, lad, I'm giving you a royal charter to perform exclusively at the king's hall for the next year, to serve the capital and to act as a royal artisan to my family. I have never offered such an honor to one of my subjects before, but you are indeed an exception. What do you say?
William, did you hear His Excellency?
Yes.
Then please, say yes.
Say yes, Will.
Your Highness, my parents are visiting me at this time, and I would be grateful if I could consult them about your offer.
What?
What?
Well, it's not what I expected you to say, but I don't mind being delayed for a short time. Do as you wish. Dismissed.
Will and Mr. Fieldstone took a coach back to the hotel. Mr. Fieldstone was clearly annoyed with Will.
Am I to believe that after all this time, you are truly nothing more than a stupid peasant boy? I'm sure your doll has more brains than to turn down the king's offer.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, Mr. Fieldstone.
Driver, let me off here. Think carefully, young man. With one word, you could be banished back to that little hovel you came from.
Yes, sir.
Well, well.
Oh, you understand how I feel, don't you, Otto?
More than you know, Will. Mr. Fox's ploy worked. He brought your parents here to confuse you, and they have.
I'm not confused.
You must be if you didn't say yes to the king right away. Don't you see what that means for us? You would be in the very corridors of power, an influence on the king himself. When you are older, he might make you a member of his government.
But that's not what I want.
In time, it's what you will want.
How do you know that?
because it's what I want.
But I'm not here for you. You're here for me, remember?
That's right. To look out for your best interest. And it's in your best interest to accept the king's offer. Just as it's in your best interest to have an enjoyable time with your parents, and then send them back to whatever that village is called.
But that isn't what I want.
Yes, it is. They'll only hold you back with their ignorant ideas. Didn't you hear them? They'd have you playing for little churches in the countryside instead of the king's hall. Is that what you want?
Maybe. I don't know anymore. If God gave me this gift...
Your old God. But you gave him up for me and for all that I've led you to. Without me, you'd be an ignorant, pathetic
That's it! Stop it, Otto! That's enough! I don't want to hear you say another word. I'm going back to the hotel.
No, we aren't. We're going to turn this coach around and tell Mr. Fieldstone that you've accepted the king's offer.
I haven't, and I won't.
Ah, but you will.
Listen to me. It's my life, and I make the decisions. I want you to be quiet.
And I'm telling you that it's not your life, and you're not the one making decisions. I am.
But I created you.
That's right. You created me to be your god, which makes me your superior. Do you understand? I'm the god. You aren't.
Will opened his mouth to protest, but suddenly, Otto seemed to grow. Larger and larger, until he was the same size as Will. And as terrifying as that was, what made it worse was that Otto now looked identical to Will, like a twin.
What is this? What's happening?
He tried to move his mouth, but his lips were stuck together, and no sound came out.
What's happening to me? Help! Help me, someone!
Stop shouting. I'm the only one who can hear you now.
No! No, this can't be.
Calm down, Will. There's no cause to put up a fuss. There's nothing you can do about it now. We're interchangeable, you and I. I am now the true you. The god you wanted to be.
No, no, I don't believe it. It's not true.
Aw, there, there. You should have known this would happen. Don't you see? The story always ends this way. When you create gods to serve your purposes, you will wind up serving those gods.
No! No, I don't want you! Somebody help me! Please! I was wrong! I was wrong! I was wrong!
Will! Will! Come out of it, boy! You must calm down!
What? Mr. Fox!
Tis I.
But what happened? Where am I?
The same place you've been for the past hour. The forest outside of your village.
Forest? Not in the coach with Otto?
The coach with... Dear boy, what am I to do? Had I known you would react so strongly to my story, I never would have told it to you.
Story?
Yes, my story, in which you decided you wanted a new god, and so I provided you with one. Well, two, actually.
A story? It was all a story.
It was.
It seems so real.
What kind of storyteller would I be if my stories didn't seem real?
What a relief. Thank God.
Thank God? Is this the god you wished you could replace?
Yes. No, well, that is... I don't want to replace him. I made a mistake. Your story showed me that.
Then it was worth telling. The sun is going to set, and I must prepare for the market tomorrow. Would you like a ride into the village?
Yes, please.
Climb on. So, I assume there'll be no more complaining about your schoolwork or chores at home?
I won't complain anymore. Well, not much.
Well, that's a beginning. Here, get on with it, Otto.
Otto? Your horse is named Otto?
It is. He's a stubborn old thing. You have to keep a tight rein on him, or he'll pull you any which way he pleases.
I understand.
Do you?
Yes. Story. Excellent.
And so Will went back to his home, and his life, this time with a very willing and happy heart. His story taught him an important lesson, one that he never forgot. But not all stories have happy endings. There are a lot of people who haven't learned what Will learned, that when we create gods to serve our purposes, we wind up serving those gods. True happiness and freedom and life come from only one God, the true God that created us and loves us and sent his Son to die for us. He's the one we need to get to know better. Just ask Will, or Randolph Fox, if he happens to visit your village.